It's getting harder to breathe. Chain smoking your love. Can't be good for my sanity. Can't be good for my lungs. Chain smoking your love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Undetected Narcissist. Today I'm going to touch on a subject that I believe anyone who is a survivor of psychological abuse or who has ever been involved with a narcissist, this subject matter is really important to you. Because a lot of people, including myself, you know, had this fear of dating another narcissist. And so I wanted to break this podcast into two parts. And as you know, the style that I like to work is I like to think of a circle. I start at the top and then I wrap it all the way around, and it makes a lot of sense. So let me ask you this question. Do you have the fear of dating another narcissist, or fear attracting another narcissistic person into your life? Many people, including myself, can develop a fear of dating or attracting another narcissist into our lives. That is why I stress that everyone needs to be educated and informed about narcissism. Not all narcissists are evil and bad. We have to remember that they were created that way by their society, environment, trauma, abuse, or another person. When you are educated and informed, you now are in the position of power. And when you are educated and informed, you are in that position of having a choice, coming from a place of awareness. Why I feel people end up getting abused and hurt by the narcissist is because they are not educated and informed. They're in the dark and confused about the narcissistic person's actions, behaviors, and manners. When a person is confused, you are most likely to take things personally, instead of recognizing the narcissist is projecting their own issues upon you. So let me give you a few examples of what I mean before we dive into this subject. In order to better support my kiddo and all of you, I am all about educating myself on different subject matters that can support me in making a positive difference in a person's life. I recently started listening to an interesting audiobook called Parenting Children of Trauma. I did not know the book was written for parents that have adopted or fostered a child. Listening to this book has taught me so much about parenting and parenting a child coming from a place of trauma, because these loving parents who took these traumatized kids into their homes were so confused. Just like you might be with a narcissist. These parents felt like a failure at times. They took it personal and they were in the dark. This book transformed so many parents' lives and gave them the knowledge and tools they needed. Once they were informed and aware, they no longer took the child's behavior personally. They saw it more as a cry for help and compassion. The other book that really spoke to me is the book written by Dr. Bruce Perry and Oprah Winfrey, What Happened to You? Conversations of Trauma, Resilience, and Healing. That book educated me about how trauma impacts the brain and supported me in comprehending various trauma responses. It truly opened my eyes and heart. So now, when I see and hear someone coming from a place of trauma, I can now better support them instead of thinking them as being crazy. It is just the trauma talking, and my heart is full of wisdom and compassion. And that's why I wrote the book, The Undetected Narcissist. I wanted to spare children and loving parents from further abuse because a narcissist can go undetected. Here's a perfect example, the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial. The smartest thing Mr. Depp did was to bring a psychologist and to have Mrs. Heard observed. I really feel that was a game changer, and it was 100% necessary. And the sad truth is, I had the same thing happen to me and my son, yet I didn't have a psychologist in my pocket. Therefore, once I healed from psychological abuse, I needed to speak up. I felt this calling from a higher purpose to share our story and truth, because so many people are confused, and I'm sick and tired of people coming from a place of hate, anger, and fear. I want to come from a place of love, because that's who I am. So back to the subject matter, fear of dating another narcissist. I want to help people make healthier choices when it comes to selecting who you allow into your life and who you allow into your inner circle. That is why I want to talk about your inner circle. And trust me, this will all tie into place because I want to overcome that fear, and I want you to overcome that fear of meeting someone new or attracting another narcissist into your life. So, what is your inner circle? Your inner circle has to do with friendships / relationships. Your inner circle are the people who are very close to you. These are the people that understand you, listen to you, respect your boundaries, love and appreciate you, and who you trust to always be there for you when you need them. These people will cheer you on and cheer you up when you're down. They see the good in you, even when you are doubting yourself. And these friends can feel like family, like your tribe. The number of friends in your inner circle, it should be small. The typical number is around 5, and sometimes people have less. So why is your inner circle important? When you shrink your inner circle to, let's say, 5 people or less, you free up more time for yourself. This is time that you can spend with your family, connecting and engaging with your kids, working on things that matter to you, and focusing on self-care. Whatever your goal is, having a smaller inner circle means you have more time to invest on your personal and professional goals. It allows you time and space to refill your cup of love. So when you meet someone new, there are 5 levels of friendship. The 5 levels of friendship are, 1, stranger. And the stranger is like, I know you. The person you just met is on the outer ring of your circle. You get to decide if you want them to become an acquaintance. What matters is the first few impressions you gather about this person. You might see them passing by you at work or at school. You can see them at the gym or at the grocery store. You can like the way they look, or just something about them catches your eye. Either way, the exchange is simple. It might be a smile, a hello. It could be something that's, very superficial. Now let's talk about an acquaintance. An acquaintance is, I know you. This is when that person shows up more in your life. Most acquaintances meet because of mutual friends, shared social groups. Let's say you attend the same school, you go to the same gym, you work in the same building, or you live in the same neighborhood. Even though this person is an acquaintance, you still have the choice to let them move closer to your inner circle or not. You could be acquaintances for years before becoming friends. Acquaintances become friends only when they start to grow closer and spend time with one another outside of work, social groups, or school. So if you allow them to know more about you and you start to know more about them, this person is now a casual friend. A casual friend is someone that is like, I like you. And now this person has moved from being outside your circle to being in the spot 3 of your circle. You have built a connection because you like this person, but you are still being selective. Casual friends are people we only talk to on a semi-regular basis. and you might feel comfortable enough to invite them to a party or to a get-together, but you are not invested in the friendship or relationship yet. Casual friends are defined by exploration. At this point, you might be willing to share more about yourself to this person, but you're only presenting them the best version of who you are because nobody likes to be rejected. And the connection you feel with this new person can leave you sometimes on the fence. The friendship is still tentative, and most people often keep this new person at an emotional distance. You might be happy to see them and spend time with them, but you don't feel comfortable enough to let them see you break down or even cry. Therefore, you might see them every once in a while or go out and have fun with them occasionally. The difference is you would never call them up, let's say, after you broke up with your partner. And a casual friendship is all about shared interest, fun activities, and enjoying each other's company. Now, this is an important position to stop and reflect. What do you like about this person? How comfortable do you feel around this person? Have you started to share some more personal details about yourself or your life? Have you had to set any boundaries with this person? Or does this person respect your personal space and encourages boundaries? And can you trust this person? Have you observed how this person treats their friends, family members, or strangers? Have you started to see what hobbies or core values you might share? And if you start to ask more personal and deep questions, and if this person aligns with your personality and core values, then this person might move into slot number 4. Now, when I wrote the blog post about love bombing, I was on the fence about including this information in the love bombing section. And that's why I wanted to put it in this one here. I decided this spot was the right place because not many of us stop and reflect upon our inner circle. Asking deep, thought-provoking questions can shine the light upon who you want to allow into your close friend's inner circle. And just because, you know, these cards that I have displayed on the blog post, the intimacy cards that I have displayed, you can still use them with your best friend, okay? You can share intimate personal information with each other. And therefore, the questions that I found on these cards are so useful, really, really useful, because yes, we're all trying to learn more about each other and form deeper friendships. And why I love communication cards and how they can be used in friendly, fun, and an informative setting, as in playing a game with other people, really takes the pressure off of you and everyone in the room. So I want to give you a few examples of the intimacy deck from Best Self. Here's some questions. What's the angriest you ever felt and why? Is there anyone in your life who you're holding a grudge against? And please explain. What are some things you liked and disliked in your previous relationship? Is there any history of addiction, abuse, or negative habits in your family? And how has this affected you? Describe some time or area in which you find it most difficult to be open and honest with me. And this last one's kind of funny, but I would like to know this question as well. Have you ever flipped me off when my back was turned? If so, when and why? If not, when have you wanted to? Good questions, yes. So there's also another great deck by the same company, Best Self, called Icebreaker. These cards will support you in sparking up meaningful conversations. It can support you in strengthening the relationship or deciding that your friendship with this person will either move forward, stay the same, or move backwards. Information is power. This deck allows you to move beyond small talk and it can break down barriers. What I love about these tools is you can cultivate a connection, openness, and vulnerability just by playing fun, friendly, and informative game. The Icebreaker deck gives you the tools to get to know people better in the areas of your life. This deck is perfect to use with friends, coworkers, family member, and strangers. So I highly recommend these cards from Best Self. And if you go to the blog post, there's actual links to this information that I'm all talking about today. So let's talk about a close friend. A close friend is someone that is like, I understand you. I get you. When you're good friends with someone, it means you've already accepted them as a part of your inner circle or one step away from being in your inner circle. You have developed a strong bond of mutual trust and respect. You have developed a comfortable sense of familiarity. For some people, this stage of the relationship needs to be cultivated, which is why it sometimes can take a long time for people to reach this stage, especially after surviving narcissistic abuse. That is why some friends might be in your inner circle and others can be one step away. This is all about feeling safe, valued, respected, seen, and heard. It can be so scary to meet new people after recovering from narcissistic abuse. Trust me, I was there before. And the biggest fear I hear survivors mention is they don't want to attract another narcissist. Therefore, I recommend getting these cards to support you in asking the right question, because I wouldn't have thought about asking any of those questions. It's perfect because it's already done for me. And when you do get to ask these questions and the questions are answered, I really encourage you to take the time to see if that person's words match their actions. Because I've learned that most narcissistic people will say one thing to please you and try to keep you in the relationship, but their actions tell a very different story. Now, most people do not have a lot of close friends. To me, if someone feels the need to have everyone as a close friend, that is a warning sign that they are coming from a core wound of people-pleasing, or they are stuck in the fawn trauma response. And I discuss this topic in Can a Narcissist Change Part 2 about the fawn. People need to be careful about who we let into our lives and who we allow ourselves to be vulnerable with. Some people become good friends over time and because of certain circumstances, while not all close friends end up becoming lifelong best friends because we grow, we change, and our friendships can change, and we change as well. So if you stay lifelong friends or grow apart, it's okay. The friendships you share with a good friend is still worth cherishing. Now let's talk about intimate friends. An intimate friend is someone that is like, I connect with you. And I gotta tell you, when you connect with someone, it's beautiful. When you have established an intimate friendship with a person in a non-sexual way, you know that no matter what happens, this person is there for you. They got your back. They will understand you, even when sometimes you don't understand yourself. And they will do their best to support you 100%. They embrace your flaws and strange, unique qualities, and you feel comfortable being your authentic self around them. And this is kind of embarrassing here, but what I've heard from a few people is how you know you're in that intimate friendship is when you can fart around each other, okay? Is a little joke there. But it's true. I mean, like, hey, everyone does it. So a friendship, this kind of friendship, an intimate friendship, it's not one-sided. It comes from a place of mutual respect and acceptance. Now, for some friendships, we can have deal breakers. For me, these signs of self-sabotaging behaviors are warning signs. Some I can live with, and others are too toxic. So I want to know, have you ever met someone that does the following? Self-criticism. That voice in your head that fills you with self-doubt. Negativity. Always complaining, a worrywart, judgmental. The next is procrastination. Making excuses and blaming others. They're stuck in that victim mentality. Their disorganization. Their house or workspace is cluttered, dirty, and messy. And when I watch that show, let's say Hoarders, to me, that is their trauma all over their house. Literally, that is a sign of trauma. The other one is imposter syndrome. They doubt their own skills, talents, and accomplishments. Number six is overindulgence. They have addictive behaviors and they show up like binge drinking, gambling, drugs. They're cutting themselves. They're addicted to porn. Then number seven is initiating conflicts. These people love drama and feed off of it. And then the final one, number eight, is out of focus. This type of person feels no sense of direction or purpose. They feel stuck or trapped, and basically, you're their savior. So, as I wrap up all this information, I want to share with you some extra resources I Googled over the internet that might help you out. So below are six links to various websites that can shed some light on this very subject matter that I'm addressing today. One is the subject matter of the five levels of friendship. There's another one about six non-negotiable when allowing others into your inner circle. There was one written by Forbes about the best five people to add to your inner circle and three to kick out. Number four was narcissistic friends. Psychology Today wrote a blog post about understanding narcissism. Can you be friends with a narcissist? And then the final one, number six, is from thenarcissisticlife.com, narcissistic friendships, can narcissists be good friends? And you can take any of that information. You can take it, you can leave it. It doesn't matter. I really just want to support you in the highest and the best way. So on part two of this, I want to talk more about intimate relationships with a narcissist and ways to keep yourself safe, ways to keep your sanity, because that's really important, and not being so guarded by everyone, because I know how that is. When I started being social again, I was pretty guarded. And I was always, I don't want to say hypervigilant, but I was very, very self-aware. And I had to realize, like, I need to learn more about this person. Because I guess one of my qualities is I want to accept and embrace everyone, and that's hurt me. And I didn't ask enough questions that I should have asked. I didn't have these tools, these cards that I feel is so crucial to just support so many people. And that's why I'm speaking about it today. So I want you all to have a fabulous day. There's another little song that you might enjoy. And if you do like the songs, I actually have a link on the blog post. So enjoy and thank you for listening. And I will have a new topic next week. Take care.
Dreaming and dark scheming, yeah, you're doomed. You're a poison, and I know that it's untuned. All my friends think you're vicious, and they say you're suspicious. You keep dreaming and dark scheming, yeah, you're doomed.